Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
I feel God. So, however you want to say it, man, I feel like God is really in this message. I had a really tough week, but I was obedient to one of my sons sent me a text and said, man, you got to hear this message. And I heard a message from Bill Johnson, and he preached about the yoke and the adjustment of the yoke, and it really ministered to me and helped me not, it helped me adjust some things that I needed to, or I probably would have been fired this week. Instead, it was a really professional email I sent, kind of. But in the midst of it, you know, I started going back to the scriptures, and I found a new level of a scripture that's very common. Today's message, I'm titling The Yoke of Innocence. And if you want to go to Matthew chapter 11, let's do verse 25 and 27. At the time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. You got to understand the concept here. Jesus is teaching people how to survive in ministry, how to survive in this Christian walk. And he starts the whole subject matter off of, hey, all the smart people, all the wealthy people, all the wise people, that's cool. But he's hidden, what does it say? He's hidden it to reveal them to little children. And so as I heard the greatest, you know, Bill Johnson preached on the yoke, and that's great. But what I caught was little children. Because I went two verses up from the message that he brought and realized that if you don't have the baptism of innocence, you will not become childlike. And you will never go through the maturing process of being yoked with Christ. And I'm telling you, every time I find a key to survival in this life and success in this Christian life, it starts with childlikeness. So he starts off, you've hidden these things from the wise and those who understand and revealed them to little children. You know, 26, 27, yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal. Do you realize the process is baptism of innocence, childlikeness, understanding that Jesus is your perfect model for the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. And then Jesus chooses to give you revelation. How many like revelation? Where does it come from? It comes from Jesus. He chooses, it's what it says right there. And anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal. So Jesus is the best revelation of who the Father is. And as I pursue in my childlikeness, revelation will increase. John chapter 7 is very clear. 7, 16 and 17. So Jesus answered them, my teaching is not mine. So Jesus says, my teaching is not mine. Is Jesus my example? So if my teaching is mine, it's not anointed. But if my teaching is anointed, where was it revealed from? How did I pick up her worship? I caught her in worship. I was soaring, I was flying, and all of a sudden a burst of government worship took me up. Where did it come from? Her God-given gift. It's just her being her. Problem is, she might not know who she is yet. I caught it. And I think as this body becomes more prophetic in nature, as this body starts functioning, listen, I'm going to pastor us for a little bit. This has been a long journey getting here. And I ain't screwing it up now. We have an elder-run team here. My elders are husband and wife teams. And one of the requirements is that they have a calling and are working to function in a ministry outside the house, or they have no responsibility in the house. Vice versa. Mike and Lisa have R&R restoration ministries. Gary and Kathy have, I don't know the name of their ministry, Deliverance something. Wham? Swam. Wham. Kind of wine. You know, a whining ministry. Just kidding. They'll slap the wine out of you. I've given Rodney instruction to get his ducks in a row. Because I want to send him to some of my friends that are going, I don't know how to build elders. Because they've come out of a hierarchical system. This conference revealed something to some of my brothers. For years when I was unable to have a conference because we were just weren't ready. We were building. We were putting structure together. I felt inferior. When I met Bobby, 1,200 member church, I felt inferior. So then I took some prophetic pot shots at him and made him feel inferior. That's what brothers do. But when he lost his building and he lost his church and he had to rebuild, who did he call? Me. It's not about the numbers. It's not about the numbers. You know, we say that until you have to say, how many people you got? And you know, he's got 12. I got 50 on a good Sunday. Let me tell you something. I got bad at the bone 50. I got some people to fight a buzzsaw just to make sure it's sharp. But God's doing something. But here's the thing. I'm done building the elder government. And now I'm going after the fivefold. Did you see the prophetic this morning in worship? He's getting something. She's getting something. All right. So what am I saying? I said the fivefold is going to come into a place of maturity. And the fivefold is not an eternal gift. It's temporal until the maturing of the saints. Amen. So if I, and listen, I am an elder. I function in the elder team. We make the government decisions for the house. But listen, I travel as a prophet. I travel as a prophet, and I understand that. I've made enough mistakes, I can tell you what not to do. I'm written up in a prophetic book, and they name me by name, and you should never tell the pastor's wife she's a Jezebel to her face. Not good advice. And I didn't read that in a book. I became the book. There's a way to handle things. But what I'm saying is our house, listen, we got so much leadership here, we don't know what we're leading. And right now, our leadership like to fight with each other because they have nothing else to do. But when the mass, when the fivefold starts functioning in the fullness of the way it's going to function, the evangelist will eventually show up and some people will get saved and we'll have some dirty diapers to change and we'll quit fighting among ourselves. You know, iron sharpens iron and there will be sparks. I'll go to the parking lot, will you? Because I'll get sharp. So here's where I'm at. God gave me a word for a region in Ohio about 7 years ago. And I started building a relationship with a large church pastor, was released a prophetic word that was off the chain for the region. It was a regional word. I gave it to that particular leadership group. Long and short of it, they were part of the kingdom family, the father-son paradigm. And in the midst of it, some of the leadership were upset because there was kingdom language but not kingdom relationship. And so when that large, successful church started coming apart of the seams and all the staff were literally going to leave, the senior leaders said, listen, we need to meet with you guys. And they made the statement out of their own protection. They said, we won't meet with you unless Charlie Coker's in the room. I'm like, what did I do to deserve that? Why that? Because I have a reputation is I'll confront you, and I don't care if you are a leader. And in that process of time, they wound up leaving, but my influence made them leave properly. But I got blackballed. They were told to not speak to me, that I was a troublemaker. Got to go with your gift. The senior spiritual father overseer passed away, and this last week that pastor passed away. And my brother Brian Higby was in a 25-year relationship with all of these people, and he called me and says, "You have to come." Well, I ain't got to do nothing. But then I went to intercession. And I realized that what God is doing here in this region, we as a church are involved with it. What God's doing in New York, I can give you stories of restoration that I'm getting phone calls of a spiritual relationship of a brother of one of my spiritual sons that was horrific in destruction, horrific in behaviors. And we've reconciled. And now leaders are calling me going, are you still in relationship? I said, yeah, we've reconciled. And now they're taking shots at me because they can't believe I would reconcile after all that damage. You ain't worth your salt if you're a prophet and do not have a heart of reconciliation. You ain't worth your salt. And I'm telling you, what we experienced this morning is intercession has to be a personal responsibility for you to be successful in your ministry. The vision he had was Jesus was crying. Who's the chief intercessor? What was the angel collecting? Tears of intercession. How many of you shed? Oh, I want to be like Jesus, but I'm just so hard-hearted, I don't cry about nothing. The more I get closer to God, the more I whine and snot and cry. And why? Because that little boy in me, that childlikeness comes in, and I'm willing to hear whatever the Father says. Oh, shut up. My teaching is not my own, but his who sent me. If anyone's will is to do God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether he speaks of his own authority. If you want your revelation to increase, speak the revelation he's given you. Out of your obedience, start speaking the revelation God gives you to individuals that God will set up someone. You know, what God's healed you for, he's going to put somebody in your path to need the same healing.
Yes, yes, yes.
And you won't be speaking from your wound. You'll be speaking from a place of healing. Now, you can show the wound for their benefit. Quit preaching Braille and rubbing your wound. Ooh, that was good. That was good. Wow. Some of you haven't been healed enough. You still preach Braille. The reason you cry is you're still in pain. You're not crying because you see their pain. I hope this is being recorded. I don't, never said that. I now know how Ron feels. He, You know, I still go back to that. Jesus could have had 2,500 scars on his body from his crucifixion, but he only showed two places to Thomas because those were the only two scars that he required to believe. So if you've been healed, your scars are arrows. Your history is his story. But you've got to go back. Wow, Jesus, that's good. But when you look at John 7, chapter 7, 16 and 17, if you want more revelation, share the revelation you have. That's obedience. He saves his best revelation for children, innocent, childlikeness. Matthew chapter 11, 28 and 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen, Mary says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. How many times, now listen, this is what got me this week, is because I said, if you go look at Bill Vanderbush's book on grace, the 11th chapter, the conversation with me about the baptism of innocence. You can have grace, 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 and you'll use it as an excuse to sin. You'll use it as a defensive excuse to sin instead of an offensive weapon to walk in holiness. But when you come down to childlikeness, did you see that yoke? Put that picture of that yoke back up, Mama. See, when you're yoked, here's what he says. My burden is light and my yoke is easy. Some of our yokes are not easy because we're out of adjustment. Your yoke is no longer easy because you haven't come to your yoke through childlikeness. Here's the picture. Put the two oxen up there. Everybody wants to eat the harvest of the ox. Nobody wants to clean the stable. But when you clean the stable from the strength of an ox, you use it for fertilizer to bring a harvest. Amen. When Jesus looked at that tree and said it didn't give me fruit, he said, well, let me dig around it, let me water it, let me put some dung around it. You guys got some dung in your life you need to use as fertilizer and quit thinking it's your gift. The ox, the picture is they'd have a big ox and a young ox. Why? To train the young one. When Jesus says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, come yoke yourself with me. You got to figure out who's the big dog in this race. You're first got to be yoked to Christ to learn Christ likeness. The problem is we want to be yoked to Christ to do something instead of learning to be something. What are the four faces of God? Face of an eagle? An ox? A lion?
A bear?
No. And a man. And a man. The eagle has landed. That's the prophetic. The prophetic is starting to be released in the house. I got prophetic people that can't sleep now. Why? Because corporately it's being released. That's where we're going to bring some structure, and it's going to be a valuable gift. It's not your identity. When it becomes your identity, it's destructive. But when it becomes useful to the body, it becomes fruitful. And no, I don't want to be called Prophet Charlie. No, I don't want to be called Apostle Charlie. Pastor works, Chucky works, other names work. Why? Because it's not my identity, it's my function. When God would not let me function as a prophet in this house, it's because I have had a tendency to have a false identity in my gifting and not in my Savior. This took 12 years to get that out of me. But now it's time to function. The ox is the apostolic. It's the strength of the ox that builds something. How many of y'all want to build something? Who you yoked to? If you've never been yoked with Jesus long enough to find out that he is a shepherd and he meets your needs, if you haven't been yoked to him long enough to realize that, you'll yoke to me and expect me to meet your needs. I won't take his place. If you don't have enough relationship with Jesus to have your needs met and get healed up enough, quit looking for somebody else to do it. Go get yoked with Him first. Then once you've gotten healed enough and your scars becomes a tool of healing others, and you actually want to go do ministry and watch the kingdom of God expand, then yoke up with someone like me who has Jesus. Is Jesus in me? Is Jesus in you?
Yes.
Who you yoked to? Well, brother, I just like the freedom of being able to do what I want. All right, okay. I waited 12 years. Lord told me it's time to build something. I felt like the conference, Sunday at conference, was the first day of the real church that I'm supposed to be pastoring. I've been practicing trying to figure it out for 12 years. I ain't figuring it out no more. I'm just going to do it. Here's the problem. Would you yoke when you got to go through your season of yoking with Jesus, man. The revelation comes, and then you start sharing with other people. But eventually, God wants to build something, and He's going to call you to hook up and yoke with another person. Here's the problem. I don't like everybody God makes me hook up to. Some of you have attitudes, and some of you don't like mine. But that's necessary to knock the edges off of us. So when I know that I'm connected to a person that is irritating me, including my spouse, I have to go home with her today. She's not always on the same wavelength as me. Sometimes she actually is in reality. Oh boy, how do you say this? When your peace is left, you're not right. When there's no peace between me and Susie, something has to be adjusted. Why? Because I want my prayers to be heard. And when spouses are at strife and at odds with each other, it says that basically your prayers aren't being heard. There's a brass ceiling over you. Fix that, which means you need a yoke adjustment. You need a yoke adjustment. And it's not one-sided, Susan. It goes both ways. But you see, I can say that between me and Susan. Listen, Susie's pretty thick-skinned. I can pick on her. I know I did something one day. I said, I had to build a new house with two microwaves so we could eat together. And I had this lady, I can't believe you talked about your wife's cooking like that. And I'm like, she don't care. She knows she can't cook. And it just, and see, people can get offended when Susie and I think it's funny. And then I said it one time, I said the same thing, and she yells out, "You're pretty fat to be talking about my cooking." You know, that's that harassing humor love language we have. Okay? And so, it's not, my oldest son said, "If we ain't picking on you, we're mad at you." But what am I saying is that between a husband and wife, there's always a yoke adjustment. But my question is, can there be yoke adjustment between us? If we're connected to each other and we're yoked up one with another, can there be tough times and adjustments, arguments, debates, and not taking the yoke off? I'll just go to another church. Fine. How's that working out for you, Ralphie? What am I telling you? God wants to polish us. See, when I'm connected to, and I'm at a place in my life right now, I can choose to push people away. I really can. It's in my authority and my power to do that. But I will miss the greater benefit to become Christ-like. Which means I have to adjust my yoke. Come here, Ron. Susie put, there's a good example. Listen, we We do ministry together. We've had hard times together. We've dealt with stuff that people wouldn't deal with, either one of us, for years. We're yoked together. Let me tell you the benefit. He knows when I'm lead. We're learning when I'm the lead dog. What did Jesus say? If you're yoked to me, your burden will be light, and your yoke will be easy. Okay, there's a time where I have to pull and push and go out ahead because I'm the big dog in that. But let me tell you something. We're learning. There's times where he's the big dog. We're not certified yet, but we're getting there. What does that mean? It means that we've been yoked enough to understand. I bark at him, and most of the time he takes it. Well, he didn't take it yesterday. He barked back, and he was right, and I was wrong. Actually, it was Friday, not yesterday. Yeah. I ignored you yesterday.
I don't even know what I did.
That's the best.
Okay, but there has to be a willingness to adjust the yoke. Otherwise, I'm in more pain than I should be, or I'm carrying more than I should be, or vice versa. And I have to be sensitive enough to know that I've put too much on him because I'm not carrying the proper load, or I need to adjust through conversation, or just a, I appreciate you. That's probably the greatest yoke adjustment a person can have, is to know that they're appreciated. That is the greatest adjustment, is knowing that you're appreciated and you are in a position to pull the weight that God calls you to pull, and not to pull what he hasn't called you to pull, and be able to communicate that. Appreciate you. You catching this?
Yes.
But who are you yoked to? When you understand that we get so religious and we want to blame Jesus for everything. But maybe he's told you to be yoked to this church, to me, to leadership, and then you're still mad at God. But you won't hook up and you won't yoke because you don't want to build anything. Because you're still needing to be trained. You haven't matured to the point where you're going to let somebody else yoke to you and you carry the weight. Welcome to ministry. You sit in the pew for 20 years and you act like you're this powerful Christian because you witnessed twice in Walmart in the last 36 months. And call it ministry. When God is saying you can't build something without being yoked to the right ones that he says to yoke to. People will distort and destroy marriages because the two cannot cooperate, because they don't know how to adjust their yoke. The problem is that we need each other. I saw an interview of a couple that had been married 65 years. I've never forgotten it. The person interviewing the lady says, "What is the key for you two being married 65 years? She goes, "Oh, that's simple. We never fell out of love with each other at the same time." Because if you fall out of love with each other at the same time, you take the yoke off. But sometimes you got to pull harder than the one you're yoked to for a season. But if your pulling gets to the point where your pain is screaming louder than your grace, you need to get along with God in intercession and say, "God, what adjustment do I need to make? What adjustment do I need to make?" And when you get his perspective, he'll become more Christ-like, and that what was pain ceases. And then there's a grace to overcome. I've seen being yoked to a business partner. Let me read this, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 and 16. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Balaam? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk with them and be their God, and they shall be my people. See, I was in business, and I had a radical conversion. Ed instantly knew I was unequally yoked. And I started walking with God and dealing with core issues. Eventually, one day, my partner slams the door in our office. He says, there's no more room for God in this business. I'm tired of you, and I'm tired of your God. If you can't keep your mouth shut about God, we're done. I went, no, I guess we're done. Why? I can't be unequally yoked with you. What you're yoked to does matter. So if you're yoked to an unbeliever, I'm going to be real blunt, and or if you're yoked to someone who doesn't believe in what you're doing, go find the one that you're supposed to be yoked to. But let me tell you something. God will yoke you to someone who irritates you because he wants you to become Christ-like. We have marriage counseling 101.
They're the ones who are counseling.
Yeah. When the pain of the yoke is starting to be unbearable, we will do several things. We'll get rid of the person that's causing the pain. We'll walk away. Get along with Jesus and find out why there's pain. Is there an adjustment that I need to make in my behavior and my value? If you find the pain source and it's somebody's personality or attitude or quirkiness or we all have a list. The antidote to that is to know what irritates you about them and then go find out the God-given gift with them and focus on that. When the God-given gift and value of that person increases greater than the pain, the yoke has been adjusted. Number four, I do not have enough of Christ in me, and this is what God has called me to care for. If I was called to yoke with you, and now I'm in pain because of you, that I have to make that adjustment one way or the other. Help you, help me, or help me, help you. But I am not going to be like Cain when God went to Cain and said, where is your brother? And he said, am I my brother's keeper? The answer is, he should have been. Here's the difference about Cain and Abel. I had this revelation years ago. God put in a mandate for the proper sacrifice to be an animal sacrifice. Cain was a farmer. He made vegetables, fruits, and that. He did not raise sheep. So when it came time for the proper sacrifice for the remission of sin and to be in right with God, Cain brought the best he had. And it was not a blood sacrifice. And he was mad that God did not embrace what he brought, which was the best he had. But the requirement was blood. So there was those two were brothers, the first set, by the way. And they had an issue. They were yoked together. But there was so much pain in their yoking that when Cain needed to buy a lamb, he couldn't purchase it from his brother to obey the processes of God and get forgiven. And he got mad because he wouldn't adjust his yoke. And God said to him, Cain, sin crouches at your door and it wants to rule you, but you must master it. I'm telling you, the way he could have mastered it, he could have looked over to his brother that he was yoked to. He says, hey, you know, I'm pretty good with these vegetables over here. Could I buy one of your lambs? And we get pride because we give God our best and we think he still receives it when he requires a blood sacrifice. But until you get into intercession, and until you understand the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ, you won't adjust your yoke. And you won't value your brother at the level you're supposed to. The apostolic strength of an ox, the gifting of my life is coming to the forefront in this house. The screaming eagle in the regions is coming to the forefront. And there's room in this place for the fivefold ministries and ministers to step up and start training and reigning through the fivefold and let the saints movement become the move of God and heal the body of Christ first. And then as they get saved, as they get set free, what took us 20 years, they'll do in months. And we'll do our part. But don't come to me about some pain that you have because you're not yoked right until you've gone into intercession and made your own adjustments. Jesus is interested in what we invest into and who we invest to, and he is looking for an increase. Look, you can go about the talent, the parable of the talents. But the greater value in me is becoming like Christ. By the way, welcome to ministry. Being Christ-like is a painful yoke. But if you let your pain speak louder than your grace, it means you will not adjust it and allow him to mold you into his image. We need other people to smooth us out and become more like Jesus. You have the power to remove people. And in that power to remove people, you will be making decisions that will abort your destiny if you're not careful. Next week, I will be doing regional ministry. I will be looking for the relationships at the regional level that God has given me mandate with. I've been dormant for 7 years in that region. Not anymore. It was interesting. It took one of my brothers to challenge me and tell me to buy the ticket, cheapie. If you're broke, I'll buy it for you. I ain't broke. I just don't want to buy it. Sometimes it takes a brother to provoke you into good works. Are you going to let your brother provoke you into doing what God has called you to do? While I'm doing what I'm supposed to do in another region, the foundation of this ministry corporately and the foundation of your personal ministry is intercession. Especially since there's prophets coming out of the woodwork here. If your foundation of your prophetic ministry is not foundationally sound on intercession, you will become mean and critical. And that won't be tolerated. And I'm telling you, intercession is the foundation of where we're going. Personally and corporately. And there's an invitation to come into the throne room of God and hear what most people don't want to hear. But if you're childlike, what you hear will bring you to a place of maturity and you will recognize that you're yoked with Christ and Christ will yoke you with others and the strength of the ox will build the kingdom. And that's where we're heading. I'm telling you, what's going to happen is that there's going to be a trumpet sound, and the prostitutes, the drug addicts, the broken, And listen, you can have money and be broke. Just bring your money. We want some wealthy broke people. Wealthy broken people, I guess. And I'm not saying that. I am saying that. God needs money. He wants your heart first. But to accomplish things, you need to have influence. But when you choose influence over people, now you're wrong. But God is saying, will you yoke up with me? This week, this message ministered to me because I have not gone at the regional level in 7 years. I hadn't gone and plowed new ground. He's saying, Charlie, yoke up with me. Jesus says, I'm the ox. I'm the ultimate sent one. I am the apostle. You function as a prophet when you travel. When you go to Ohio, I want you on point. I want you to listen. I'm going to give you strategies. And you'll see souls changed. I know it's prophetic in nature when Brian Higbee tells me, he said, 25 years of relationship, all these youngsters that were teenagers at this, that are now middle adults with kids, are texting, can we meet with you? Can we have a barbecue before the funeral? And all of a sudden, all this restoration's going on. See, that's the prophetic. I'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, hearts of the children. And that's the spirit of Elijah. That's the prophetic gift. And so prophets in the house, if you have not spent enough time in intercession, be willing to lay your life down to reconcile in relationship, get back in on your knees. The reason the body of Christ does not walk into the ministry of reconciliation because we have conversations of justification. You've justified why you don't like that person. You've justified why I can't be yoked to you because you irritate me. You've justified all this stuff, and God is looking for an adjustment to where grace becomes an oil that becomes polishing instead of friction. Does this make sense? Okay, I'll preach a salvation message for you that need to get saved later. This is where we're at as a house. This is where we're going. I'm doing some restructuring on our website and things, and I realize the ministries that are coming out here. I mean, we're going to promote Karen's traveling ministry and Brad's traveling ministry and Pastor Mike and Lisa's and Gary's. And I started doing an inventory. Dude, we got a lot of stuff coming out of here. It may not have the numbers, but I'm telling you what. We are all that in a bag of chips. And we're irritating. Isn't that good? I'm living proof. God will offend your mind to reveal your heart. We're going to have to get over some of this. And be committed to what God has told you to yoke for. He'll get it done. I'm looking back at some prophecies that are 20 and 25 years old. I'm going, holy moly, you're still faithful. You didn't change your mind. You changed me. Wow, isn't that just a novel idea? I thought you were going to change somebody else's mind. No, you changed me. Talking to somebody, I said, don't you want the authority to walk over to him and lay hands on him and raise him from the dead? He goes, no, I'm glad he's gone. I'm like, dang. You need a yoke adjustment. Stand to your feet.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages. read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.